Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're listening to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. City launches new music strategy on a high note. The Kingston Music Strategy is now underway, ushering in a new era for Kingston's vibrant music scene, as the city has partnered with Tourism Kingston to support a new music officer position and is currently recruiting for a music advisory committee. The music strategy has been in development since November of 2022 and was approved by council in December of 2023. The strategy has four main pillars: cultivate spaces and places, empower and invest in talent, amplify connection and visibility, and bolster city leadership. The new music officer will be in charge of implementing this strategy. The music officer role is an expansion of Tourism Kingston's existing music commissioner position held by Moira DeMorest. DeMorest is a pillar in Kingston's music community, with over 20 years of experience in the music industry as a musician, concert promoter, and educator. As the music officer, she is now working to implement the strategy, supporting Kingston's music industry and acting as a liaison between the city and the music community. To oversee this process, Tourism Kingston and the city are also now seeking community members to join the Kingston Music Advisory Committee. I sat down with DeMorest to chat a bit about her new role and Kingston's music strategy. To get us started, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the expansion of your current role to now being the music officer.
Of course, yeah. So I started with Tourism Kingston as the music commissioner in 2022. And through that, the idea was really to help to set the groundwork, I guess, for a music office alongside. So Tourism Kingston also houses the film office, the film and media office. And so working alongside the film office really was like a great synergistic opportunity between the two sectors. That's where it started, putting that groundwork and really like working alongside the consultants on the Kingston Music Strategy, which was just passed just before sort of the holiday break at the end of December. And that really sort of officialized everything.
Yeah. And a big part of your new role will be implementing the strategy. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to what's in that document in general.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's so many pieces that are really important, but one piece that's been, I guess, advertised right now is the call for an advisory committee, a Kingston Music Advisory Committee, which will be comprised of a number of music advocates and music sort of stakeholders in the Kingston music scene. So venue owners, a representative from different education pieces of the music education part of the economy. And that will also help to, shape the work plan, help to consult and keep the music office up to date on what's really happening in the world. The music office is right now an office of one, of me. So, using this advisory committee as an opportunity to help shape the work will be really important and keep things accountable, keep the music office transparent to the rest of the scene, almost like a bit of an open public forum. We need to make sure that we're really consulting and listening to the music scene itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe there's a call for folks to join that committee right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. So that call is open until the end of March. March 29th is sort of the deadline. And really, it's just sending a letter of interest to music@tourismkingston.com. And all of that that information is available on the Tourism Kingston website and also the City of Kingston website. If you just Google the strategy or Kingston Music Strategy, you'll find that. But just sending a letter of interest exploring maybe noting some of your the reasons why you might be a good fit for this committee, and looking at what the committee's sort of terms of reference are. You know, what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, like I said, some music venue representatives, representatives from high school and post-secondary, things like that. And that's, yeah, that's hopefully going to roll out fairly soon.
Awesome. Yeah. I didn't realize that you were going to have such like a wide breadth of people on that committee.
Well, it won't necessarily be, you'll have to be 18 over for mm-hmm. that, but, we will have, you know, a secondary, high school music teacher, represented because, you know, the future of music really is starting at that age. For the Kingston music scene, a lot of bands really start out in high school. I think, mm-hmm. the secondary, high school music scene is really, really important to nurture and make sure that's supported at that stage. You know, we can't wait until a band or a musician is 19 before we start to say, oh yeah, okay, now it's important to listen to them. We really need to be making sure that there's you know, that connection to those students and to that group, that audience.
Yeah, definitely. You're like looking to the future, looking forward for the future of Kingston music scene. Very exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are you most excited about kind of stepping into this role?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. You know, it's such a privilege to be even, you know, to speak with you about it and to be in this role. I'm excited to just be around musicians and continue this work. You know, I've been in the music scene, in Kingston's music scene all my life. And I have, you know, been working in that scene for 23 years. It's kind of hard to believe, but you know, I started at Queen's Music. I, you know, helped co-found a concert promotion company, and I'm really excited to sort of use kind of those pieces that have been emerging, that have been floating around in my brain as a musician, as a music educator, mm-hmm. and as a music arts worker. You know, put those pieces into a little bit of action to see where I can make a little bit of a difference and help to get some more support for artists, help to showcase, help to develop. You know, it's definitely not just a me or my office, but mm-hmm. but working collaboratively with the music community in this role is such an exciting undertaking.
Yeah, really exciting. And like, I mean, Kingston's music scene is just so unique. I find like, even though we're such a small town, quote unquote, it's just booming all the time. There's live music everywhere you look. And yeah, so it's really exciting to have even more of that coming up.
I agree. We for the size of Kingston, we really punch above our weight. You know, mm-hmm. we are on the same level as so many larger cities. You know, mm-hmm. I sit with other music offices in Toronto and Montreal and Ottawa, and you know, they're looking to Kingston about like, what's going on there? You know, this is an incubator. This has got like great emerging bands. Like, you look around even, you know, at the live sessions and see all the bands that are captured, just emerging from Queens and SLC, mm-hmm. and high school bands are starting to pop up now too, mm-hmm. that are you know, really, that's really, really the, you know, the lifeblood, I think, of the continuing music scene is investing in and making sure that we're showcasing that development and offering an incubator for these emerging artists.
The full Kingston music strategy is available on the City of Kingston's website. Community members can learn more about the Kingston Music Advisory Committee on Tourism Kingston's website, and those interested in getting involved can submit a letter of interest to music@tourismkingston.com by March 29th. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Zayden Phoenix-Vergara with your CFRC Sports Desk.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Zayden Vergara, and stay tuned tonight at 5:30 for your CFRC Sports Rundown, where I'll be joined by Ian Donaldson, and we'll be breaking down your U Sports Men's Volleyball Championship as it roared into Kingston this past weekend. We'll be doing a deep dive into how your Gales did, as well as going all the way to discuss the finals of the competition. With it being St. Patrick's Day weekend, it was absolute madness in Kingston, and that meant the exact same for your Kingston Frontenacs, who came roaring back to the Limestone City after two consecutive weeks of away games. They played one match on Friday against the Peterborough Petes, in which they won in a dominant 3-6 fashion. And on Sunday, for a special St. Patrick's 2 o'clock game, the Kingston Frontenacs hosted the North Bay Battalion, where they donned their St. Patrick's Day attire. The game would also prove to go the distance, as the teams would trade blows back and forward, with two goals being scored in the first period, one by each team, and then a total of four goals in the second period, as each team was not allowing the other to gain a strong hold on the game. Things would come down to the wire. Paul Lundwinski, who already had two goals previously on the night, would find himself with a golden opportunity, assisted by Jacob Battaglia with 10 seconds to go, where he was able to bury it in the back of the net, hitting the beautiful selfie stick celebration. So there's a lot to break down, but all this and more at 5:30. But on that note, that's all for me. Now over to Erica Singh with your campus news update.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and today I'm joined with Astrid, who is a representative from the Grad Club. Hi Astrid, can you please tell us a little bit more about the rent increase issue?
So we recently learned that the rent at the Grad Club will be going up from about $1,000 to commercial rent at around $4,200, which is over 400% increase to our rent. This comes at a time where we are also still struggling as we're getting out of the pandemic. The loan was just due, so we're just paying that back. And we've also had a number of issues with the aged structure of the building, that we've had some emergency repairs because of deferred maintenance on the building. So the culmination of also having this rent increase has meant that the Grad Club is struggling to see a future that kind of extends in far into the future.
All right. And can the Grad Club afford the increase? And if not, what barriers are you facing?
So although we can afford some of the increase, the whole thing is definitely quite shocking, because they are trying to put us up to a commercial rent when we really do not operate as a real commercial space. We are a community space for members, and we are one of the only places on campus for graduate students and for professional students to come and hang out. You know, people write their dissertations there, they study there, they hold classes there. We're really an extension often of Queen's Learning Space as well. So putting us up to commercial rent seems absolutely outrageous when grad students no longer have the ability often to go out to other places downtown, off campus, just due to how low their funding packages are. The great thing about the Grad Club is you're under no obligation to be buying anything while you're there, unlike regular restaurants or anything. So the increase to this rent while we're facing challenges financially, from the operational side, because grad students have so little money, is just really a slap in the face and really shows that Queens does not understand what an important space this is on campus.
And can you please tell us a bit about your fundraising campaign and its goals?
So our fundraising campaign is in large part due to trying to get us up to a spot where we are financially at a net zero, so that when we do see these rent increases, we'll be in a far better space to address them. As I mentioned before, we still have the outstanding SIBA loan that we are currently paying back. That was for COVID relief. Unlike a lot of other businesses downtown, we were subject to a lot of other regulations for much longer due to being on Queens campus, and Queens provided us no relief from that as well. Furthermore, we are also experiencing a number of project cost issues, including things like the plumbing is starting to fail. We're seeing the disintegration of the exterior of the building. There's a number of areas that need repairs to the building. So we're hoping to raise some money for that, so that things like our utilities bills and such will end up being lower, as well as we will not be needing to close due to emergency repairs, as we saw during the whole of last February when we saw a massive flood due to the lack of repairs over the years to the plumbing system.
And will you attempt a student fee increase with the SGPS or introduce an optional fee with the AMS members at referendum next year?
So we do not want to increase the student fee. We have not increased the student fee since the 80s. It's actually gone down from $25 to $20 because we know the financial difficulties that graduate students and professional students are facing these days. So we do not want the burden to be placed on students who are already really precarious financially. It would not be fair to them. This is a space that Queen should be upholding in order to support their grad students. The burden should not be placed on individual grad students who are already struggling to be financially okay during this cost of living crisis.
And are you planning to introduce an optional AMS fee for members?
So we're definitely looking at more restructuring of the club as a whole. And at that point, maybe we would. Currently, because it is the grad club, I don't think we are eligible to do so. However, we will. We are also thinking about ways to develop the club into the future for the community as a whole. And perhaps at that point, we'd be able to discuss the possibility of an AMS fee.
And are there any opportunities for students to help preserve the grad club?
Word of mouth currently is the best. Would be one of the best things. Tell people about the fundraising committee or the fundraising that is going on there. If you go to thegradclub.ca/donate, you're able to donate there. Just even using the grad club space, whether or not you buy anything or not, just showing Queens that this is an important space for grad students. You can always email the upper administration to let them know that you support the space, that you use the space if you're a student on campus. But yeah, sharing on social media, just getting the word out there that we are there and that we have support from the graduate student body and the professional students, as well as elsewhere in the community and on campus, would be great.
And what is the timeline for the rent increase?
We'll initially see the first increase happen in September of 2024, with the next one coming in January. And then after that, we see fairly steep increases for the next couple of years. Currently, although when we launched the fundraising campaign, we were told by Advancement we'd be able to give tax receipts, and that we were using Give to Queen's page, which they had told us to do. We now, for the time being, are currently unable to do so. They have rescinded that, and we have to do our own fundraising campaign through our internal website, and we are no longer able to give tax donations at the moment.
Thank you, Astrid, for sharing this with us today. Once again, if you're able to donate, please do. The Grad Club is an important space on campus. That's all for me today. Thank you so much. To listen to the full interview, make sure to check out the Today in YGK podcast on both Spotify and Apple Music. Thank you so much.
This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting partly cloudy skies with winds being 30 kilometers per hour. We have a low of -4 with wind chill being -10 overnight. Looking forward to tomorrow, we're expecting mainly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of flurries in the morning. Beginning near noon, we're expecting some heavier snowfall. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour late in the morning. We have a high of +2 and wind chill -8 in the morning. Later on in the evening, we'll have cloudy skies with a 60% chance of snow and a low of -4. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report for March 15th to 21st. Reduced load restrictions are in effect as of now. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists due to a major rehabilitation project during the following periods. Today, March 18th to Thursday, March 21st from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Friday, March 22nd at 8 p.m. to Monday, March 25th at 5 a.m. and Monday, March 25th to Thursday, March 28th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. During these periods, all lanes will be closed to vehicular traffic in both directions. The sidewalks will remain open to pedestrians and cyclists. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise motorists of an alternating lane closure on LaSalle Causeway for major rehabilitation during the following period: Wednesday, November 1st, 2023 to Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. During this period, one lane will be closed and one lane will remain open for alternating traffic. Motorists should expect short delays. Access will be maintained for pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC encourages users to exercise caution when traveling on the bridge and thanks them for their patience. There are no new road closures to look out for this week. However, do keep in mind that University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for the Queen's JDUC project until the end of May. Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham, also has an eastbound lane closure until April 1st, 2024. Detours are in place for the duration of the closure. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time throughout the process. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. That wraps up your CFRC traffic report for this evening, and next up is Danielle with your events and concerts calendar.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Event and Conference Calendar for March 18th to 24th. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. Amaranth Stoneware will be hosting a five-week pottery course that starts Monday, March 18th. This course will teach you how to throw on the potter's wheel and is open to all skill levels. Included in the course is one bag of clay to keep, use of tools, glazes, and open studio during the duration of your class. To sign up for the course, visit amaranthstoneware.ca. On March 19th, head to the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning to learn all you need to know about charcuterie boards. Part 2 of this workshop, which involves creating your own charcuterie board from scratch, will be held at the Confederation Place Hotel on March 21st from 6 to 8 p.m. To participate, you must be 19+. For more information and to register, visit eventbrite.com. Also on March 19th, a free drop-in euchre night will take place at Daft Brewing from 7 to 9 p.m. The winning team will get to choose between a $50 gift card for Daft Brewing or 2 6-packs. On March 20th, discover the art of wine tasting at the Italo-Canadian Club of Kingston from 7 to 9 p.m. This event is 19+. To purchase tickets for $65, visit icckingston.com. On March 21st, pick up a mason jar meal at Mitchell Hall. Mason jar meals contain all the key ingredients and spices to prepare a quick, easy, and healthy meal. This is a student-led initiative supported by Queen's Student Wellness Services. Students can pick up a jar for free while supplies last. To register to pick up a jar, visit queensu.ca/studentwellness. On March 22nd, Fresh Food Market Pop-Up, an initiative of Kingston Community Health Centers, will appear at the YMCA from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Fresh Food Market Pop-Up brings affordable produce and chef-created gourmet healthy options to Kingston and surrounding areas every week. Visit freshfoodmkt.ca for more. On March 23rd, the Queen's Women in Automotive and Motorsportive Conference will take place at the University Club from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. This conference was developed to empower students with one main goal: to be a part of the next generation of female engineers and businesswomen in the automotive and motorsport industries. To purchase tickets for $20, visit engsoc.queensu.ca. Also on March 23rd is the Artsci Cup, an annual charity basketball game inspired by the Tricolor Classic and the Queen's Arts vs. Science rivalry. This will take place at the Athletic and Recreation Center from 6:30 to 10 p.m. This year, the event will support Martha's Table, a community center within the Social Welfare Network of Kingston that provides a unique home where respect, compassion, caring, and social interaction can occur in an atmosphere of mutual support. To purchase tickets starting at $10, visit gales.universitytickets.com. On March 24th, Make Your Move Kingston will be hosting their second annual Easter egg hunt at Lake Ontario Park from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. This fun-filled event will include searching for eggs, a barbecue lunch provided by Smoke and Barrel, and a chance to win tickets to MYMK's luxury suite at the Toronto Blue Jays. Entry is free. To RSVP, visit the Google form linked under the events section at cfrc.ca. Moving into the concerts for the week, starting with March 18th, head to the Toucan from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. for a free evening of poetry, music, and storytelling. This event is 19+. On March 19th, Tom Savage will be hosting an afternoon happy hour jam at the RCHA Club. This is an open mic jam with Tom Savage and friends where everyone is welcome. This event is free and runs from 4 to 7 p.m. On March 20th, head over to the Miziki Cafe and Whiskey Bar at 8 p.m. to see Frank Ryan perform. This event is Pay What You Want by donation to the musicians. Also on March 20th, the Sheepdogs will be bringing their Backyard Boogie Tour to Kingston Grand Theater, featuring special guest Daniel Romano's outfit. The event will start at 7:30 p.m. Tickets vary in price and can be purchased at kingstongrand.ca. On March 21st, there will be an LGBTQ2S+ karaoke night at Daft Brewing at 8 p.m. Cover is $5. On March 22nd, Christopher Jackson and special guests will be playing at Blue Martini from 7 to 9 p.m. for free. All ages are welcome. Join Free Label Love, Toronto's number one party band, and Nice on the Band, Kingston's favorite dance band, at the Grad Club for a disco party on March 23rd. The event runs from 7 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are $30 and can be purchased at eventbrite.ca. Also on the 23rd, the Great Bach Marathon will take place from 12 to 4:30 p.m. at St. George's Cathedral. Performers will include members of the Kingston Community of Organists in the Dance School of Music and Drama, the Moelman family, and the Kingston Musical Community. This event is free. For more information, visit rccokingston.ca. And lastly, on March 24th, Jeff Dunn will be performing Modern Blues for free at Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m. This has been Danielle with your events and concerts calendar for March 18th to 24th. Wishing you all a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.